It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Taylor Talk Episode 6. This is Adam.
Belle.
Jensita.
And Maya.
We got a great episode planned for you guys, but first, just some quick announcements before we get going. As always, go follow at TaylorTalk13 on Twitter to get the latest updates on what's going on with Taylor Talk, when new episodes come out, and all that fun stuff. Also, last week we discussed the little things about the Hours music video, just little things that we noticed within the video and pointed out to you guys, and we missed one that was kind of obvious. The fact that Taylor works on the 13th floor in the office building. I actually didn't notice that, so thanks to Pretty Lil Taylor for pointing that out. And then finally, we're going to be adding a couple new mini-segments to the show in addition to What Would Taylor Do and If Swifties Ruled the World. The first one, thought up by Jensita, is going to be called You Know You're a Swiftie When. So it's kind of similar to If Swifties Ruled the World, in which you finish the sentence, You Know You're a Swiftie When. So you can submit those to at TaylorTalk13, as well as TaylorTalk at TaylorSwift13.org. And then finally, a new segment that's going to be full of all kinds of uplifting stories. In my time I've spent within the Taylor Swift fan base, I've noticed so many people telling stories about positive ways in which Taylor has changed their lives. And I've even seen some statements so extreme as to say, Taylor has actually saved my life. So if you've got a story you want to share that's similar to that, email it to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org, and it might get read in the air, or on the air, sorry. But at this time, I'm going to pass it off to Jensita to start the calendar.
Okay, first up on the calendar, we have Taste of Country Awards, and Taylor is currently leading the pack with 7 nominations, including 1 for Meredith. She's nominated for Artist of the Year, which she is currently winning, Song of the Year for Mean, she's in 3rd place, so we need your votes, Video of the Year for Mean, currently winning, Tour of the Year for Speak Now World Tour, currently winning, Best New Pet from Meredith, currently winning. Best Artist to Follow on Twitter. She's in 2nd. Blake Shelton is winning, so we need to go vote for Taylor. And Cover Performance of the Year for White Blank Page. She is currently in 3rd place. So go vote at tasteofcountry.com, and it's a polling system. And it says here that we can refresh and vote as many times as we want.
Yes, you can.
Whenever I try to vote again, it already says, thank you, we've already counted your vote.
On Taste of Country?
Yeah, I've been noticing that too.
It hasn't done that to me yet. I have been able to refresh, so let's even try it right now while we record. Because I think it's definitely worth a try for everybody, because I have been able to refresh and vote again and again and again.
Usually I just open tasteofcountry.com and vote, and then I come back to it like 5 minutes later, reopen it and vote. But I haven't tried refreshing it, so maybe if you just reopen the page...
I just tried it. Like, I haven't done it in, like, 2 days. I just tried it, and it says, thank you, we have already counted your vote.
Yeah, same with me, because, yeah.
I just refreshed, and it's letting me re-vote.
So if it lets you re-vote, go re-vote.
Yeah, moral of the story, listeners, if it lets you refresh and vote, do it over and over
and over
and over.
Voting ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 1st, 2012, and the winners will be announced January 3rd.
The People's Choice Awards are on January 11th, 2012, and they're going to be airing on CBS, and Taylor's got 3 nominations. She's nominated for Favorite Female Artist, Favorite Country Artist, and Favorite Tour Headliner. It was a fan-voted award. Voting is now closed, so I really hope you guys went and voted. I'm going to be there, and I'd love to see her win all these awards, so that would be really exciting. So don't forget to tune in to CBS on Wednesday, January 11th. It's at 8 Central, to watch her win, so hopefully she will win, and that would be awesome. And lastly, Taylor's birthday is coming up. It's on December 13th, depends on when you're listening to this, because it's either coming up or it just passed. So she turns 22, so we all wanted to take the time and say happy birthday, Taylor!
Happy birthday
to you!
Okay. Birthday. Should we be saying happy birthday to her?
We just did. Okay.
No, that was like a sad, like one person half happy birthday.
Okay, everybody yeah, except- on a count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. You can't even sing in tune with each other. That's horrible.
I know, right?
Well, we tried. We made an effort to sing happy birthday together.
We tried.
Taylor, so we made a valiant effort. Hit virtual hand hearts to Taylor. Happy birthday.
Millions around the world, virtual hand hearts to Taylor.
All right. So last night in Nashville, Taylor accepted the Nashville Symphony's Harmony Award, which is an award for exemplifying the harmonious relationship between different music that exists within Nashville, and for her contributions to musical appreciation. And there's a whole bunch of gorgeous photos from the event, and you can see them in the gallery at taylorswift13.org/gallery. She looked gorgeous, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Pretty ball gown.
She always does, though. That's, you can't even
see. I know, but it was just she like, always looks fantastic. I thought she looked extra gorgeous, like more than usual.
Maybe it's the new haircut. Like
her and, that, and the dress and the makeup was really good, and I don't know.
She looked very elegant.
Yes, very elegant. Also, the Cy Young Award winning pitcher for the LA Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, got a lot of attention. He told Molly Knight of SPN the magazine that he's a really big Taylor Swift fan. He actually said, "I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. I really like her song Mean." So it's always fun when you find out about Taylor fans in places you wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Celebrity fans in particular. Yeah. I thought that was a fun bit of news. That's why I added that in there for you.
I'm surprised he admitted it.
Why wouldn't he admit it?
It seems like something you get made fun of in the locker room.
Yeah, I know. Usually, you know, if you're a guy and you're a baseball player, I don't know. I feel like you're not going to go around usually being like, "Yeah, I love Taylor Swift." People will be like, "What?"
Maybe he has like a picture of her in his locker.
What's wrong with being a Taylor Swift fan if you're a guy?
There's nothing wrong with it. We're just saying.
Okay. I've never gotten beat up in the locker room. All right, let's move on with the show. We've got our main primary segment in which we're going to discuss the Hours Behind the Scenes webisode series. There's a 13-part webisode. I hope you guys have been following it because it offers great insights into how they made the music video for Hours. And as of this recording, 8 of them have been released. By the time you listen, there will probably be more, so we'll have to cover those in future episodes. So let's start with webisode 1, which on Taylor's official channel is called We're Making a Video. It discusses how Taylor wrote the treatment for Declan Whitebloom to direct, just like she didn't mean, and Taylor's idea to do the whole video in character. They talked about that. They never cut away to singing. Did you guys actually notice that the first time you watched it?
Yeah, that like there weren't any performance shots. It was cool.
Yeah, everything was done in character. She was singing in the elevator. She was singing at her desk.
I liked that, actually.
Same here. I wish they would do more videos like that in general. Just the whole video is a straight-up story that flows without cutting off to, like, performing and music and just let the song tell its own story.
Do you know what I think the problem is, though? Is a lot of music today doesn't tell its own story, like Taylor's does.
Yeah, that's true.
How many artists do you think, Belle, you're in the music industry, realistically, how many professional performing artists write their own music?
Unfortunately, not very many.
I didn't think so. I mean, it's just, so it ends up being generic stuff that they just happen to sing, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, the artists will pick songs, you know, that they can relate to, but it's not the same thing as it being their song and their music, and that's one of the reasons I really, really like Taylor, is because everything that she's writing is directly from her. There's a lot of songs, and I think that you can really tell the difference to whether an artist relates to a song that they're singing or not, even if they didn't write it. I mean, that's just my take on it. Like, I just happen to notice when an artist is really, like, passionate about what they're performing versus when they're just performing a song that somebody wrote for them.
Yeah, like, you can tell when Taylor's singing that the song's personal to her, that it meant something to her, and that just the emotion that she puts into each song.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because thus far, I always commended Taylor on her acting abilities, but then it occurred to me, maybe she's not actually acting. She's actually feeling the emotions in the songs.
Right, and that's what she said when she's performing. People ask her sometimes, like, what she's thinking about, and she always says she tries to go back to that place of refeeling these feelings of when she was going through that, when she's writing the song, and she puts herself in that place. So it's like she's right back there. She's in that relationship again. She's in that heartbreak again. And that's why sometimes, you know, she might get a little teary, or when she's really excited about something, you can just sense that, because she does do a good job of bringing you back to where she was.
You just hit the nail on the head with that, with what I was going to say, because I was going to say anybody that has seen her in concert, you know, has probably seen her literally sit there and cry a little bit and things like that. And you can really tell that, I mean, that's not acting. She's reliving whatever she's singing and doing. And that's exactly what Jensita just said, is what I was thinking. So, and I think it's, you know, it's really brave to do that too in front of tons of, you know, thousands of people. I mean, to really put yourself out there and be that personal with, you know, that many people. And then to
that
go
takes
and then,
a lot
you know,
of courage, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. And then to go into the video and have that same kind of mentality where, you know, you're telling a story that matters to you and not worry about, like all of the details of the video are, like we were discussing last episode, are personal to her. Like, you know, little shots of Meredith and, you know, the 13th floor that, you know, we just discovered. And all these little things are specifically tailored. They're not, oh, hey, let's make sure that we do this to make the video look snazzy or something. You know, it's not about that. It's about her and about things that are important to her and her feelings and her emotions.
It's funny you say that, because in later webisodes, which we're going to obviously get to, she talks about how it's not supposed to be glitzy and glamorous.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Maya, what were you going to say about Ellen?
Oh, no, I was just saying, you know, she said that she's always in her, whatever, in the emotions of the song, except for the one time when she was on Ellen, and she said, sometimes she'll just start thinking about cats.
Yes.
Like,
that was hilarious.
So cute. I really want a cat. Do you think you could take them on airplane?
Oh, wait,
I'm on stage.
But that's also part of the story of Taylor, though, which in this video, it's telling one of her stories. That's just, who knows, maybe we're going to have a future music video where she's on stage and there's like a little bubble that pops up and says, I wonder if I can have a cat.
She also said something about reading the signs, and that she gets afraid that if she reads all the signs that she's going to forget
the lyrics
to her
yeah.
songs when she's singing.
If she forgot any of her lyrics, I'm sure the entire crowd would be happy to help her out.
Right. There's something about this R's music video. It's definitely one that she's done different from every other music video. I mean, we've seen some behind the scenes or like the makings of videos, but we've never seen like a 13-part series like this that she's gone into detail about the character she's chosen and like little tiny things that you wouldn't even think to explain. And why do you guys think that she decided to do that with this one?
I actually have a hunch, because in one of these webisodes, she was talking about how something she loves about her fans is how Ours was a song she released as a bonus track on Speak Now, and how it evolved its way because fans kept buying it and fans fell in love with the song. And she said something about fans being the ones that, how'd she word it? They let the best song win. That's how she worded it. She said fans let the best song win. And so I think this song must have been special enough to her that she was like, I mean, I could be completely off base, but I think the thought process might have been, all right, I really like this song, so I'm going to put it as a bonus track because maybe not everyone else, maybe it's not the best song on the track. But then it was revealed to her, wait a second, fans agree with you. This is a great song.
I'm surprised with that, though, because it is my favorite song, but I'm surprised that she said that it was like the fans letting her know overwhelmingly, because even when you released on iTunes, the number one song above Ours was If This Was a Movie.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why I wondered why she decided Ours. And also with Ours, like, when she was releasing the next single, she never told us which music video this was for. And that's been probably the only time where we've had to be like, oh, which video is she making it for? You know, like, what song is this going to be about? So she kind of, you know, tried to keep that a secret from us, too. So I thought that was kind of cool that she was trying to be more secretive about it.
I think it's one of those situations where she knows that it's a good song. She put it as a bonus track. The fans really responded to it. And yes, If This Was a Movie, was number one. But maybe this was the song that she really had a clear picture in her head of exactly how she would do the video for it. And it was the song that was, you know, between the two most personal and important to her. And it was just like, wow, I have this image in my head of how I want this video to go. I know I can, you know, make this a certain way, you know, and just all these things are flowing. And that's why she decided, you know, like, we got the song up there for her, you know, and got her to realize how much we liked the song. But between those two songs, maybe this happens to be the one that she felt, that she personally felt most passionate about, in addition to the fans loving it too.
Which would explain why she is doing this webisode series.
Exactly.
Let's talk the director, Declan Whitebloom. He is a veteran director for Taylor, also having directed the video for Mean in the exact same format where Taylor wrote the treatment, Declan directed it. Something that caught my attention when I was watching the video on him was his quote about Taylor. He said, when Taylor says, "I've got an idea," you listen to what she's going to say. And so I did, and it was a great idea, and I loved it. I'm like, this is great. I think they make a fantastic team, and this second webisode definitely shows that.
I agree with that. I think that it's really important for Taylor to have somebody that she's working with be completely willing and open to not being the one in charge making all the decisions. Because Taylor doesn't need help with that. She is amazing, you know, and he is there to do his job as the director, but it's her vision that he's directing. And he's the fact that, like, he didn't try to, like, push whatever he thought or felt onto her vision, that he was just like, I like this, let's do it, you know, that makes me happy. I like that. And that always, you know, that's not always going to be the case with certain directors, you know, especially, I mean, directors are directors because of the fact that they often, you know, have their vision of how they see things going, and they consider themselves, and this is not me speaking about every director, this is just me saying that this is the experience with some people. They're there to take somebody else's idea and build upon it with themselves. And he's just there for the ride and to help. And he does a great job at what he does, and Taylor does a great job at what she does, and I think they work really well together, and I hope they make more videos together.
Well, it's like they say in this webisode, I don't remember if it was Declan or Taylor that said it, one of the two said that there is a mutual trust between the two of them, and that's what creates the perfect balance.
Yeah.
Is that they trust each other.
I like when Taylor mentioned that Declan makes everyone feel appreciated and like he's grateful that they're there, and makes sure that the whole filming is a positive experience for everyone.
Well, yeah, to add to that, though, that's not just a good direction practice, but it's also, in my head, it's a great business practice. By making those people on set feel appreciated, they're going to perform better. Just like if an employer treats their employee well and makes them feel appreciated, they work harder at work. So, I mean, that's probably got a lot to do with their success, is the fact that Declan makes everyone feel appreciated.
Very true. Let's talk about the story of the video. Episode 3.
All right. The story of the video, Taylor tells us, is the ups and downs in the life of this girl in the video, the character that she plays. And she points out the fact that there's a subtle comedy to the monotony of everyday life, which there absolutely is. I mean, do you guys see that?
Yes, when the guy's at the water cooler.
Oh my gosh, the guy at the water cooler.
Standing there, drinking the water all casually, and a look on Taylor's face made me crack up laughing. She's like, are you kidding me? Hurry the up.
Anyway, no, I agree. The water cooler is a great example in that we've all been there. It's the most annoying thing in real life, but when you look at it in a music video,
it's hilarious.
It's so funny. You can't help but laugh. And I remember last week when we were talking about the video, I believe both of you, Jensita and Maya, you guys both said that you laughed the first time you watched the video through. So
yeah, over just a bunch of different things. Maya, what were some of the things that you thought were funny?
Well, I mean, again, the water cooler guy, the looks that people were giving her in the elevator, the guy with the banana, the boss's son with the staplers, the guys behind her who were, I don't even know what they were doing, like the look on the security guard's face, like there are just so many things.
The paper airplane one.
The paper
after
airplanes,
he throws
yeah.
it. She's just like, seriously? It's so funny. Adam, did you find anything funny?
Well, the clicky guy, that's what I just mentioned. The guy with the boss's son with the click, 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 the staplers, because
print something out and it says out of paper. So she leaves and then she comes back with a stack of paper and it says out of ink.
Out of toner.
And yeah, so then she comes back with like a ink cartridge and the printer, entire printer is just like gone. And she's just like, what the heck? Like,
it's like, we've all been there too, because printers are the biggest pain in the butts with computers, aren't they?
Oh my god,
they
yes.
Never
printers are awful.
So it's cute that she goes through the day and it's just like, you know, she's like, oh, you know, is it going to be 5 o'clock soon? Like, she's watching videos on her computer to try and get through the day. And then at the end of the day, you can just tell that she's so happy. She's high-fiving janitors on her way out the door.
We got a tweet at T-Swift on Tour, someone saying, I feel like Taylor in the arts video today because I just left my dorm building and I high-fived the janitor on the way out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, she also, on the way in, she fist bumps the janitor.
Yes.
So true. Taylor mentioned in the webisode, actually, the fact that the janitor is like her only friend in this office and everybody else is just a complete pest.
Poor Taylor.
That's sad.
I also like the meaning behind the story, where you see that contrast, as Taylor points out, between, I mean, it's the feeling, you know how you can feel colors sometimes?
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to mention that, the way that the entire video is like dull and yellow toned.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and like gray.
Yeah, Taylor describes it as gray specifically. Then all of a sudden she shows the contrast, because when she is with the male character, who is supposedly her love interest, everything brightens up, and all of a sudden she's dressed a little bit more cute.
Got some more makeup on. And
it's like just a total opposite.
Speaking of the male character, who else recognized him as Zach Guilford from Friday Night Lights?
I did after I read it.
I had no idea who he was.
I had that deja vu feeling where I was like, I know this guy, who is he? And then I had to like read his name and where he was from, but I kept, the first time I watched on the video, I had that deja vu thing, and I couldn't place the name, and it was driving me crazy.
So, let's talk a little more about him when we get to that webisode, because the next one in line is locations, which, as Declan Whitebloom points out in the video, they have 4 primary locations. They got the office building, the airport, the house, and on a bus. Speaking to the office building, what did you guys think of that set?
I like the fact that they, like, filmed the office building from a low angle to make it look really tall and really menacing and really, oh my god, I don't want to spend the entire day in this thing. Like, I liked that.
I didn't even notice that. That's a great point.
Yeah, they just made it very huge and, like, menacing almost.
Yeah, well, that's the idea, is what Declan had said was that they tried to make it, like, the worst office you have ever been to. He wanted it to be the worst place in the world.
Like, the light was blinking on and off, like it wasn't working, like, all the way.
Everything was just dull, and it looked like it had been there for, like, 40 years, and it was just so, like, decrepit and unpleasant looking.
Spilled coffee cup on the counter.
Basically, this video is exactly why I refuse to have an office job.
I was about to ask, have any of you ever worked an office job like that, where you're in, like, a cubicle?
Mm-mm.
I have once. I had an internship, which I'm not going to name the company on the air for obvious reasons, but I was in a cubicle, just like Taylor, and it was, I mean, I spent my entire shift texting. That's how I made it through the day. Like, if I didn't have texting, it was just like in the Hours video, where, you know, she is watching those videos of her and her lover and, you know, their exchanges and stuff. For me, that was my texting, because I had nobody in the office to talk to, no one to interact with. It's just like, boring. I'm like, when do I get to go home? Watching the clock. I felt those emotions from the Hours music video of that office building.
Yeah, me too. It just brought me back to, like, those horror memories of, like, when I was a freshman in college, I was working part-time for this real estate company. And, you know, I'd have to go to work and sit in a little cubicle, and I really only had, like, 5-hour shifts, but they were, like, the longest shifts ever. And I just wanted to, like, claw my face off. It was so bad.
Why do you think Taylor wanted specific, like, real Nashville transit buses?
I think to add authenticity, make it, I mean, also, I think she was trying to seem, like, as normal as possible, like a very normal person, and I think a very normal person would take a real bus to the airport.
But that is an interesting question, because they could have easily rented, like, a movie bus, like a bus used for movies, as opposed to going through the effort of actually securing a Nashville transit bus.
I mean, I think that's nothing compared to the effort of securing the Nashville airport.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Which was our next point. They shut down an airport.
Like, the whole entire Nashville International Airport.
That's just crazy.
Like, shut down. Like, Taylor Swift needs to film a video. Sorry.
Yeah. Can't fly. Sorry. Guys, if you're about to land, you're just going to have to circle for a couple hours. Cause
Taylor Swift is filming right now.
Taylor's in the house. What up?
Yeah. So you guys are going to need to just, like, delay that landing for a few hours. Okay, great. Thanks.
You know, just circle. It's all good.
Yeah, just, I hope you guys have enough gas.
I mean, she said they were, like, controlling all the traffic, too. So if, like, someone was trying to, like, pick up their loved one at the airport, they wouldn't be able to.
It's so crazy.
They can't drive through.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah, like, I wonder how they legitimately pulled that off. They talk about the fact that they did it in the webisode, but I wonder how they did it.
I mean, it's like in New York City, like, when they're filming movies, they'll, like, shut down entire streets, you know? I don't know, somehow they just have to get permission and find the right time and...
I guess, but it's interesting, because it was in the middle of the day. Like, it was probably at peak hours, or relative peak hours, unless they did it, like, really early morning, just to make it appear midday, like at, like, 5 a.m. or something, but...
Well, I don't think so, because I remember getting those tweets from people saying, like, Taylor's at the airport filming. It was morning, but it wasn't, like, super early.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, 3 in the morning early, obviously, since it was
day out. I love that thing, sorry to veer away from the airport, but the whole thing about when she was filming at the house, and there's that group of girls that... like, were hanging out, and, like, they were all singing her songs, and then she noticed them, and then I guess she decided to go say hi to them, but, like, I love someone from her team goes over and is like, hey, you know, if you sing that a little louder, I think someone might come over here and say hi to you.
Yeah.
And then she just walks over and, like, gets out of the car, like, hey, guys, and then they all start crying, and, oh,
and
it's so cute.
It's such a Taylor thing to do.
Yeah, just come over and, like, say hi.
Well, she rewards the fans that are loyal. Like, I mean, they spent, according to the video, those girls had spent all day there.
I mean, if Taylor Swift was, like, in my neighbor's backyard, I would spend all day outside, too.
Well, it's an unused house. It was a house that was for sale, and they set it
Whatever.
Up as a sale,
the house next door to mine. If she was in the backyard, I would be outside, too.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would be, too. I'd be, like, looking over the wall, like... Hey.
Creeper.
Taylor, over here.
I baked cookies.
I baked cookies for you. You want cookies?
No. I don't think her security team would let you give her food.
I think she would take it, to be honest.
But I don't think she'd eat it.
Why?
Because she doesn't cookies? Know what you put in there.
I wouldn't put anything in her cookies.
She doesn't know that.
I'm so innocent. Anyway, let's talk Zach. Webisode 5. Like we mentioned earlier, Zach... plays the male character, the male lead in the Hours music video, and it is Zach Guilford from Friday Night Lights, who mentioned this was his first music video. So how did he do?
I thought he did a good job.
I did too. I really liked him.
I liked him in his role as Jones.
Jones. I think he did fantastic. It wasn't even good. Like, he did an amazing job.
Yeah. He seemed nice and normal, like her.
Well, apparently he was Taylor's first choice for the role. She's the one that picked him out, and she wanted him. And he said it was an honor to get this role, which, yeah, I mean, it is getting picked by Taylor.
Getting to kiss Taylor.
He didn't kiss her.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he
no,
did.
He didn't.
There's a part in the home video thing where, like, one of them is holding the camera and they kiss.
I don't think so. I missed that part.
No, it's definitely there. I think you're, like, having selective amnesia right now. It's definitely in there.
There's even pictures of them just kissing.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. No, but there are, though.
I refuse to believe it.
Okay, well, whatever you want.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, sure.
I was watching very specifically for that.
Okay,
well,
you need to watch it again because it's there.
I don't think so.
There's pictures around, too.
We're going to get so many tweets to Taylor talk.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
Adam,
take,
your homework is to watch the video again and see the kissing part because it's in there.
I take back everything I said about him doing a good job.
He was playing her boyfriend. He's allowed to kiss her.
I don't care. It's not fair.
So what, do you hate, like, every love interest in all of her videos, or...
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Just make sure you're not singling them out, you know? Gotta be fair to everybody. Gonna hate everybody
yeah.
equally.
Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity hater. Just kidding. No, in all seriousness, he did fantastic with the acting, though, because like he mentioned in the webisode, they didn't actually have the music playing. He had to act as if there's music playing, and he had to act without words. Everything was with facial expressions and with body language.
Yeah, it's different from, you know, I guess if you're used to only doing TV and then suddenly, like, you don't have lines anymore. You just have to do it all with body language and facial expressions.
Seems very challenging, which shows his level of acting ability.
Yeah, I think so. It's a big, like, difference. But he did a really good job with it, despite the fact that he kissed your future wife.
I still don't believe it. Anyway, so
Adam's in denial.
What do you guys think? I'm not in denial. Anyway, what did you think of Taylor's look, as they talked about in Webisode 6?
They tried to make her look, like, not glamorous and whatnot, and so her hair, I guess, how people would wear it, but, yeah, I thought her hair definitely looked messy. Like,
yeah, I liked her description. She was like, I want it to be, like, straight, like, not totally straight, but kind of, and not really bangs, but kind of. Like, she just wanted it to all be kind of, like, blah. Like, you know, like, she totally just wanted to look like she didn't care.
And like, her hair looked how she felt.
Yeah, like, I think whoever did her hair did a really good job, because it looked pretty blah.
It was Gemma Moradian, I believe is how you say
yes.
it. She is the hairstylist behind the magic.
The magic that was Taylor's frumpy hair.
Yes. Well,
frumpy.
Taylor's frumpy hair, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, so Gemma did the hair. Joseph Cassell was the stylist. And Lori Turk, who has done Taylor's makeup several times in the past that I know of, did the makeup for this video. And the three of them collectively actually said it was really, really challenging to, for lack of a better word, they were trying to uglify Taylor.
Yeah. Then they're saying, like, they're trying so hard, and then you get her behind the camera, and, like, it's like, you look at her in the monitor, and, like, oh, crap. Like,
how are we supposed to make her not look pretty?
She still looks stunning in the video. Taylor, why can't you make yourself look ugly?
Well, let's talk about the extras.
Extras in Webisode 7, which thus far is unnamed, because Taylor has not posted it on her official YouTube channel yet. Basically, what happened with the extras, Declan picked the extras, handpicked each of them out of 200 people that were sent to them. And he's like, hey, I like you, I like you, I like you. Go over to Taylor, and Taylor placed them in a role. So I believe, as far as this video leads me to believe, they're very proud of who they got for those roles.
I kind of feel like it would be funny to, like, walk up to Taylor, you're going to be this guy that will not leave the water cooler. You're going to throw a paper airplane at me and I'm going to hate you forever. Like,
I mean, the video was her vision. She knew exactly who she wanted and what she wanted them to do.
And they all, the fact that Declan wanted them to all be looking as peculiar as possible.
Yeah, I mean, they found some really interesting looking people.
Like the guy with the banana.
The guy with the banana. I don't know whose idea that was, but I love it.
Well, the banana was just his lunch. I don't know.
Why was he in the elevator all day?
Maybe he's the elevator operator?
Eating a banana?
I don't think so. I think, I don't know.
Elevator repairman.
The guy at the desk. She's like, oh, he just looks so sad. Like, him just sitting there.
I know,
there
like, she was, like, feeling bad for him while he was acting.
He did a pretty good job, though. Like, he literally looks, like, depressed and bored.
I mean, he more just looks, like, defeated. Like, like that. Like, there's just, like, no purpose in life anymore.
That's a great description. I like that.
So, Webisode 8 was probably my favorite webisode to date. And it is so adorable how you get to see Taylor and Zach, like, actually making the video themselves. Like, they got to put the cameras in their hands and hold them and film each other, because Declan thought it would be more, instead of, you know, them pretending to, you know, be in love with the cameraman, they could pretend to be in love with Taylor, who was actually filming him. And you could see, like, Taylor's, like, hand in the in front of the camera, like, waving to him. And it was just so cute to see, like, the behind the scenes of her filming them together and going around and
having them actually hold the camera.
I like when Declan was being interviewed. He's like, yeah, they're over there. He's like, they're making the video on their own now. He's like, I'm not even watching them. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because what I said earlier when I was going to mention something about Declan later and his unique style was exactly that, what you just said. The fact that he wasn't even over there directing. He was empowering the actors to do their job and act.
And Taylor even said it was her first time ever, like, getting to be behind the camera and, like, filming something like that. And for Zach, it was his first music video, and then he gets to hold the camera, too, and sort of,
yeah,
like, film
it. It was his first time running camera operations also, I believe, is what they said in the video.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a really unique thing they did, and it came out so well because it does look really authentic.
So what do you think the purpose of them using these smaller cameras in the home videos that they made?
Well, it sort of gives a more, like a realistic feel, yeah. It's, like, more, like, the feel of, like, the kind of camera, like, a couple would have, you know, because they don't have, like, professional enormous cameras in their houses, you know. They have, like, you know, handheld, yeah.
And it was cute how, like, you know, going back to the stylist and the outfits and everything, you know, Taylor wanted to make sure that anything she was wearing wasn't, like, in style or anything. It's just, like, something normal, everyday people would wear, you know, like a scarf and just, like, boots. Nothing like the latest in or the handbag everyone has to have. It was just, like, random stuff. And at the end, when she runs up to him at the end, she just throws everything on the floor like she could care less about it. It wasn't like a $200 designer handbag or something. So, any other thoughts on episode 8?
Well, don't forget that you can watch all of the videos at taylorswift13.org/videos. And they're all in sequential order, so that's good.
So if you've missed any, go check them out.
I think you should make it like a lottery thing and put like video 5 up on top, and then video 3, and then...
What, you mean just mix and match? Just be like, oh, watch video 3, then 8, then 6, then 2, then...
Yeah, it's one. Like playing hopscotch with Taylor's videos. I think that you should do that.
Or you can watch them starting with the Hours music video, and then go 1 through 13.
You can, if you want to be all boring and monotonous, and...
And fit in that office. That's how the people in that office would do it.
That's true.
Just saying. Anyway, on to another round of Swifties If Swifties Ruled the World. If Swifties Ruled the World.
Echo.
All right. Jensita, would you like to read the first one for us?
Sure. It's submitted by our friend, Lucky Number A, and she said, if Swifties ruled the world, the 13th of December would actually be a worldwide holiday known as Swiftmas, and we would all give songs as gifts.
Yay.
Sorry, I really liked that one.
Yeah, that's cute.
I like this one. Silky13 said, if Swifties ruled the world, it would rain confetti and glitter. And that just reminds me of, like, the end of the concert.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that. It would be like living in one of the Speak Now shows.
Totally. Let's talk about What Would Taylor Do.
All right. Our What Would Taylor Do this week was submitted by Olivia via email. She sent it to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. She said, what would Taylor do if she had the ability to fly? Where would she go? What would she do?
Well, let's think of some of her favorite places. She'd probably go to Funden.
Go where?
London. London.
Funden.
She always calls it Funden.
Oh.
What would she do?
So, to specify, are we talking flying like Superman speed? Because, I mean, if she was talking about just flying in general, she can take an airplane wherever she wants.
No, if she had the ability to fly.
Right, so she has to be able to fly at, like, Superman speeds.
Probably. Or would it be like Peter Pan flying, where she could, like, hold someone's hand and, like, take them along?
Okay, I vote for that.
So
right
if she
now.
Can if she can fly like Peter Pan, does that mean she can go to Neverland?
Yes.
I mean, possibly, if she's Peter Pan. And I think the Neverland kind of comes with it.
Second star to the right, straight on till morning?
Exactly. Yes.
And Tinkerbell would be there.
Yeah. Yay.
Tink!
Whoa.
And we would never grow up. Bad Taylor puns.
No, that's a good Taylor pun.
I feel like you think everything is good Taylor puns when they're actually not.
No, they're all good Taylor puns. Okay. Any Taylor pun's a good Taylor pun.
So what do you think she would do?
Well, see, if I could fly, I don't know. I think maybe Taylor would do this too. She'd just, like, fly up to her friend's windows, knock on them, and wave, just to see their facial expressions. Hey! Yeah,
like, you're like, hey!
Hang outside your window, flying! What's up?
Hey, Abigail, what's up?
Exactly.
Look, I'm flying. Look what I can do. Maybe she'd go visit Abigail if she could fly. Although I feel like she can probably do that anyways, because she, you know, has private jets and stuff.
But she can do that and then, like, hang outside of her window and like, do backflips in the air. You know,
that's okay. True.
Do you know what else would be really cool is to like go sit on a cloud, like just hang out on a cloud.
I don't know if that works. Like write songs up there, you know, it's like take your guitar, hang out on a cloud, write some songs.
It would be a very like quiet and peaceful place for her to write music.
Yeah, that's insane. Like it would be nice and quiet.
How would she get her piano up there?
She could fly it. I think she'd just bring her guitar. It's kind of easier, yeah. More portable.
But what if she needed to write something on piano?
I don't think you ever... I don't know.
Well, she could just bring it. She doesn't have to bring a piano. She could just bring a keyboard for that piano.
I know what she would do. She would write lyrics with the clouds. She would, like, turn them into lyrics. Like when planes do.
Like, use the sky as a notepad.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
So if Taylor could fly, would she also be a superhero?
I hope so. What would her name be?
What would her superhero name be? Exactly.
I don't know.
How about Swiftalicious?
No. That sounds
that's
like
a terrible.
You would
that
eat.
Sounds like a cookie.
Yeah, that does not sound like a superhero name at all.
The
Swifter.
Swifty?
No.
Super Swift. Super Swift.
Super Swift.
The Swiftinator.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Adam's not really churning out the golden ones with this.
Hey, now. You know, it's an effort. It's an effort. We're brainstorming here. You have to throw out all the bad ones before you come out with the good ones.
If you have a good name for Taylor's superhero, tweet us at TaylorTalk13.
There we go.
Yes,
yeah.
Please do.
And we will include some of those in the next episode.
Weigh in on this, guys.
Yeah, I think, though, if she did have the ability to fly, she would never have to watch Superman fly away.
Bad Taylor puns.
Good Taylor puns. When are we going to get over this bad thing?
Because it's funny.
I'm glad someone thinks it's funny.
So, we're having an episode next week?
Yes. So before we sign off and say goodbye to you all, we just want to make one last announcement. Next week, there will be a regularly scheduled Taylor Talk, which we'll record next Sunday. The following two weekends are Christmas weekend and then New Year's weekend. So, we're going to take 2 weeks off for winter break. We hope you all enjoy that winter break. And we'll see you in 2012. So just to reiterate, there will be an episode next week. There will not the following 2 weeks. So for Taylor Talk episode 6, this has been Adam.
Belle.
Jensita.
And Maya.
Sending you plenty of virtual hand
virtual
hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
And saying... goodbye. Peace out. Go follow at TaylorTalk13 on Twitter. Bye. Give us feedback. Oh, and also, while we're on following TaylorTalk13, don't forget to submit more What Would Taylor Do's If Swifties Ruled the World.
And the new segment.
Now, also, the new two segments, You Know You're a Swiftie When, and uplifting stories for Taylor, or how Taylor has impacted your life. So, now a real goodbye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.